The wagon arrived and we all got in. We were taken to the second precinct. The cops looked at my car papers. They couldn't believe that the car was mine. I was searched at least 6 times by different people. Eventually, we were all locked in a cell about 6 by 8 feet. Pat smiled and rubbed his hands together. "There's going to be some sick fucking dope fiends in here," he said. A little later, the turnkey came and called my name. I was taken to a small room that opened off the reception room of the precinct. In the room were 2 detectives sitting at a table. One was tall and fat with a deep South frog face. The other was a middle-aged, stocky Irish cop. He was missing some front teeth, which gave his face a suggestion of hair lip. This type cop could just as well be an old-time rod-riding thug. There was nothing of the bureaucrat about him. The cop in charge was studying the papers of my car. Everything they had taken out of my pockets was spread on the table in front of him. A glasses case, identification papers, wallet, keys, a letter from a friend in New York. Everything but my pocket knife, which the smooth-faced cop in the patrol car had put in his pocket. Suddenly, I remembered about that letter. The friend in New York who'd written it was a teahead, and he pushed weed from time to time. He'd written to me asking the price of good weed in New Orleans. I asked Pat, who quoted me a tentative price of $40 per pound. In the letter on the table, my friend made reference to the $40 rate and said he wanted some at that figure. The frog-faced cop folded the car papers carefully and put them aside. He picked up the envelope and looked at the address and the postmark. Then he took the letter out. He read the letter to himself. Then he read aloud, skipping where there was no reference to weed. He put the letter down and looked at me. "Not only do you use weed," he said, "you peddle it too. And you've got a batch of this weed stashed somewhere." He looked at the letter. "About 40 pounds. He looked at me. "You better straighten yourself out." I didn't say anything. The old Irish cop said, "He's like all these guys. He ain't talking. Till they get their fucking ribs kicked in. Then they'll talk and be glad to talk." "We're going out and search your house," the frog-faced cop said. "If we find anything, your wife will be put in jail, too. I don't know what will happen to your children. They'll have to go to some home." "Why don't you make the man a proposition?" the old Irish cop said. I knew that if they searched the house, they would find the stuff. "Call in the Federals and I'll show you where the stuff is," I said. "But I want your word that the case will be tried in federal and that my wife will not be molested." We went out and got in the car. The old cop was driving and the captain was sitting in back with me. "This is it here," said the captain. The old cop stopped the car and honked. A man with a pipe came out of the house and got in the back seat. He looked at me and then looked away, puffing on his pipe. The man looked young in the dark, but when he passed under a street light, I saw that his face was wrinkled and he had black circles under the eyes. It was a clean-cut American boy face, a face that had aged but could not mature. I assumed that he was a federal agent. After smoking in silence for several blocks, the agent turned to me and took out his pipe. "Who are you scoring off now?" he asked. "It's hard to find a score now," I said. "Most of them have gone away." He asked what record I had, and I told him about the script case in New York. "How much time did you do on that?" he asked. "None. It's a misdemeanor in New York. public health law. Public health law number 334, as I remember. He's pretty well versed, said the old cop. When we got to the house, the captain grabbed me by the back of the belt. Who's in there beside your wife? I said, nobody. We came to the door, and the guy with the pipe showed my wife his hunk of tin and opened the door. I showed him the pound of weed I had in the house and a few caps of junk. This didn't satisfy the captain. He wanted 40 pounds of weed. You're not coming up with all of it, Bill, he kept saying. Come on now, we've shown you every courtesy. I told him there wasn't any more. The man with the pipe looked at me. We want it all, he said. I said, you've got it all. Finally, they collected the weed, the caps, and a .38 revolver I kept in the house and got ready to leave. He belongs to Uncle now, said the captain to my wife as they left the house.